You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Friday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is February 14th, Valentine's Day, and we finally put a bow on the first half of the NBA season last night. So we'll talk a bit about that and the upcoming All-Star weekend as well. So let's jump right into it. So we'll start off with some of the games from last night. There were only five as the other 20 teams got a head start on the All-Star break. But the first was the Rockets hosting the Warriors in Houston. So Steph and Jimmy Butler, they combined for 48 points, but on just 13 for 32 shooting. But it was still good enough to get the win to close out the first half at just over 500 with a record of 28 and 27. The Rockets only got 55 points from their starters, with 25 of those coming from Aaron Holiday alone in the losing effort. Then the Pelicans stunned the Kings in overtime at home, 140 to 133, thanks to a massive game from CJ McCollum. He had 43 points in 41 minutes, and he shot 64% from the field, including 7 for 12 from 3. Alvarado and Trey Murphy also contributed 18, but when you look at the box score for this one, it looks like Sacramento should have just blown them out. So here are the starters real quick for the Kings. Sabonis went for 22 points and 28 rebounds. Yes, 28 rebounds, including 13 of them on the offensive boards. DeRozan had 20. Keegan Murray had 13 and 8 rebounds. LaVine had 32 points and 10 assists. And Malik Monk had 24 points and 9 assists. So all around, great games from these guys. But when you look at their minutes, everyone but Murray played at least 43 minutes last night, which is crazy. And Murray still played 36. So they only got 22 points from their entire bench. Just not good enough to get the win. And all in all, New Orleans gets their 13th win of the year, and they have at least one little thing to celebrate, I guess, heading into the break. But then down in Dallas, the Mavs got their second big win in back-to-back nights as they beat the Heat 118 to 113. Tyler Hero had 40 points for Miami, but it took him 30 shots and 9 free throws to get there. And despite the Mavs' basically entire team being out, they had seven different guys in double figures. And Dante Exum led the way for them with 27. And then up in Minneapolis, the Timberwolves got at least 20 points from Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, and Anthony Edwards as they beat the Thunder 116 to 101. SGA, as we like to call him, the free throw merchant, shot just 6 for 21 from the field, but he still finished with 24 points, thanks to, of course, 11 more free throw attempts. He did come up just shy of extending his 22-game streak of 25 points. And then in our final game of the night, we had another overtime game as the Clippers beat the Jazz 120 to 116 in Salt Lake City, thanks to 41 points from Norman Powell and a vintage game from James Harden. He had 32 points, 10 rebounds, and was just 3 assists shy of a triple-double. He also had 3 steals, 2 blocks, 3 turnovers, and 4 fouls. So really just filling up the entire stat sheet last night. So anyway, with all the games finalized as we head into the All-Star break, I wanted to do a quick recap on the first half just to kind of get a feel for the overall landscape now that the focus will be a little bit higher on hoops now that football has ended and we're still a few months away from baseball. So overall, the West has definitely been the better conference throughout. It's just it's deeper at this point, which should be, you know, I think most evident by looking at a team like the Suns. They're 26 and 28. They would not even be in the play-in tournament if the season ended today, but they would currently be the 8th seed if they were in the East. So even though the West is a little bit of the better conference right now, I don't think we should count out the top or the teams at the top of the East, though. Right now, 3 of the 4 best odds to win the finals belong to Eastern Conference teams. The Celtics are leading the way there, followed by the Thunder, then the Cavs, then the Knicks. Now, part of that may be due to the East being a little bit weaker, but I don't think the Celtics or Cavs especially are anything to be reckoned with. I'm pretty sure I saw a stat earlier this week that said the Cavs, they have the best record in the league against teams over 500, so it's not like they're just beating up on bad teams at the bottom of the standings. But speaking of the standings, when we look at the East, so the Cavs currently hold the top seed at 44-10, which is tied with OKC in the West for the best record in the league. Then they are followed by the Celtics, who are 5.5 games back, with the Knicks, Pacers, Bucks, and Pistons rounding out the top six. And those are all the teams that would obviously avoid the play-in tournament. So then we have the Magic, who are 2.5 games back of Detroit, with the Hawks, Heat, and Bulls rounding out the top 10. And then the 76ers and the Nets are not too far behind, just 1.5 games back of the Bulls. And then the Raptors and Hornets are going to be long shots to make the playoffs, and the Wizards are basically dead at this point. They're in last place with a record of 9-45, just abysmal. I don't think we were really expecting much else coming into this season, but still just terrible. But so anyway, not too many surprises out of the East so far. I don't think anyone thought the Cavs would be this good. I mean, I think we thought they'd be decent. But with their acquisition of DeAndre Hunter at the deadline, they may be like real contenders to challenge the Celtics and come out of the East. Obviously, Boston is still loaded and they aren't too far behind Cleveland. But if the Cavs can hold on to the top record and have home court advantage throughout, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, I think they can really give the Celtics a run for their money. But some of the other surprises so far would be the Pistons. They're in the sixth spot right now with a record of 29-26. They've already more than doubled their win total from last season when they finished just 14-68. A lot of that credit has to go to Cade Cunningham. He's really taken the next step in his career. He's averaging 25 points and almost 10 assists a game. So really special stuff from him. And then they also have Jaden Ivey, Malik Beasley, Tobias Harris all playing pretty well too. So really, really great on them for turning it around. And then a surprise on the other end of the spectrum would definitely be the 76ers. They've been a huge disappointment so far. They're just 20-34, definitely have an uphill battle to make the playoffs at this point. They had such high hopes at the beginning of the season, and it looked like they were going to have another really solid piece in their rotation with the rookie Jared McCain playing really well, but then he ends up going down for the season with an injury. And then Embiid has been hurt. He's only played 17 of their 54 games. Paul George has only played 35 games, and he's been mediocre at best when he's actually played compared to his typical standards. And then Tyrese Maxey has played pretty well, but it just hasn't been good enough for this team to get it done. So I'm not really expecting too much out of Philly the rest of the season. I don't think Embiid can stay healthy. Paul George hasn't been himself, and with their other injuries, and it's just too much for Tyrese Maxey. So anyway, over in the West, OKC obviously leads the way at 44-10. As I mentioned before, that's tied with the Cavs for the best record in the league. They have a huge 8-game lead over the Grizzlies, who are currently the 2 seed. And then they're followed pretty closely by the Nuggets and the Rockets, and both teams from LA. Then the teams that would be in the play-in if the season ended today would be the Timberwolves at the 7 seed, followed by the Mavs, the Kings, and the Warriors, who are just 1.5 games ahead of the Suns for the 10 seed. Then the Spurs and the Blazers sit at 12-13. They both have 23 wins and are pretty long shots to make the playoffs at this point. And then the Jazz and the Pelicans round out the West with 13 wins each, most likely playing for next season already. So honestly, the West is pretty similar here to the East, where I don't think anyone thought OKC would be this good. I mean, we knew they had a solid roster. SGA is a certified superstar at this point, but 8 games ahead of everyone else at the break, while outscoring your opponents by almost 13 points a game is crazy. So they're a little bit of an outlier. And then I'm sure the Warriors and the Suns they're probably a little bit disappointed with their spots in the standing so far. I think they both had a little bit higher expectations, but I still think both teams can make a run down the stretch here. They've got, you know, veteran players who are still really solid, and especially with the Warriors getting Jimmy Butler, I think they've got a chance to make a move here. But everyone else, I think they're just about where we all thought they would be coming into this season. They're not too far off. So as we look at some of the statistical leaders so far, SGA is your leader in scoring at 32.5 points a game, just ahead of Giannis and Jokic. Trae Young is averaging the most assists at 11.5 a game, also just ahead of Jokic. And then Sabonis is averaging a crazy 14.5 rebounds a game so far. He's just ahead of Kat and, of course, once again, Jokic. So, you know, the walking triple-double. And then SGA is currently the odds-on favorite to win MVP with Jokic right behind him. I think this may be a little bit of Jokic fatigue because he's been great so far, and I think he still has a good chance to win it. And then they have, let's see who's right behind them. I think it's Giannis, Tatum, and Wemby are next, but I think this is really a two-man race at this point. The Rookie of the Year race is wide open, and Defensive Player of the Year is definitely Wemby's award to lose. Evan Mobley and Jaren Jackson Jr. are currently listed as like the second and third best odds to win, but Wemby at 2,400 is all but a sure thing at this point. So Anyway, looking ahead to All-Star Weekend here, we have a new format, so I just wanted to talk briefly about that and the schedule and some of those changes. So anyway, today we have the Celebrity All-Star Game, which I always think is fun to watch. That'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Rising Stars Tournament. So this year it's going to be three teams of rookies and sophomores coached by Tim Hardaway Sr., Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin, and then a fourth team of G League players coached by the GOAT, Jeremy Lin. The winner of that tournament tonight will get to play in the All-Star Game tournament on Sunday. So this is where we have some more changes. That tournament will it'll be three teams where we split up the 24 All-Stars. Those will be coached by the TNT crew of Chuck, Shaq, and Kenny. And the way that they'll run that, there'll be two shortened semifinal games to 40, where then the winners will play in the championship game also to 40. So I think this is a great idea. The game should be a lot more competitive. I think we'll see a lot more defense than we've seen in the past few years with the games going to just 40 points. So I think it'll be fun to see those guys really go out and compete. And then apart from those tournaments, we'll of course have all of the other events on Saturday night as well, starting with the Skills Challenge, then the three-point contest, and obviously the dunk contest as well. The Skills Challenge will have four different teams. The first is the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. Then there's a rookie team of Zachary Richechet and Alex Sarr, and then a Team Spurs with CP3 and Wemby, and Team Warriors with Draymond and Moses Moody. So I may be a little bit biased, but I like the Cavs team there. Then we have Jalen Brunson, Darius Garland, Buddy Hield, Lillard, Cade Cunningham, Hero, Cam Johnson, and Norman Powell in a three-point contest. I don't really have a lot of reasoning for my choice here, but I just have a feeling that Dame's going to win that one. And then in the dunk contest, I'm taking Mac McClung. I don't really care who else is in it. I think he's just fun to watch, so I'm going to take him there. But anyway, that'll just about wrap it up for this Friday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for joining us. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars if you're listening to the podcast version, or subscribing if you're watching along on YouTube. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.